Good afternoon, James. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon.
Now, the 1% difference campaign, tell me about this, Seamus.
The 1% difference campaign is all about getting people to give either time or money to a cause they care about. We are asking people to give 1% of their time or their income to a cause that they care about, whether that's in their local community or internationally. Irish people are fairly generous as it is. I think in 2012, Irish people would have donated about $460 million to charity.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those organisations are under financial pressure at the moment. So any little bit more that people could donate would be brilliant. But it's not just about money, it's also about time.
Yeah.
Irish people, about one in five, would volunteer for a local community group or organisation. If you look at sports, for example, if you were to take all of the voluntary time and you translated it into jobs for people that you had to hire, you'd be talking about 22,000 people. So people give a lot, but if they could give a little bit more, it would make a massive difference.
Okay. I noticed that with regard to people donating a percentage of 1%, any percentage of their income, our figure in Ireland stands at 0.8% compared to other countries. Why do you think this is, Seamus?
Well, to be honest, Irish people are generous. Most Irish people, about 80% of Irish people, will have given to a charity or a good cause in the last 3 months. But we tend to give less in the amounts we give because most of us give in an ad hoc fashion. If somebody shakes a bucket or if somebody comes into us and says, look, we need money for this, we will give. But we tend not to give on a regular basis. So less Irish people would have, say, for example, a direct debit for their favourite charity than in some other countries. So it's the issue is really around the way we give. If we could persuade people to give on a more regular basis, then I think they would give a little bit more, and at the same time, they wouldn't necessarily feel any extra pain.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, would it be difficult to change this attitude, given the fact that it's how we are in the country? Like, as you said, we don't mind giving on an ad hoc basis, but on a more regular basis, if it's not something that's in our nature, how do you expect to change this sort of attitude?
Well, I'll tell you, if it wasn't in our nature to give, then I think we'd have a major problem. If Irish people weren't generous, then it would be virtually impossible to persuade them to become so. But I think our instincts are good and our nature is generous. So what we're asking people to do is to give a little bit of thought to their giving, to pick an organisation or a group that they feel very strongly about, and to make a commitment, whether it's for 6 months or for a year or for 2 years, to give a percentage of their income to that cause. So I think it is possible. If, as I said, if we were trying to get people to do something totally different, then we'd have a major problem. But I think, as I said, Irish people are generous. What we're really trying to do is to get them to give on a committed basis, to pick something they care about and match that commitment with either time or money, because obviously in the current circumstances there are a lot of people who can't afford to give money.
Yeah. I noticed that the campaign was launched in Dublin by the Minister for the Environment, Community and Local Government, Phil Hogan, and Mary Robinson, the former president. And she's the founder of the Mary Robinson Foundation, Climate Justice and UN Special Envoy for African Great Lakes. How involved are all these people in the campaign, Seamus?
Well, the campaign itself is not a government campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Funding from the campaign comes half from philanthropic sources and half from government. But the ideas actually came from the sector itself. So it's not a government campaign. It's not the government who are asking people to give, first point. Second point, Mary Robinson was very good to come and launch the event for us, but she's not necessarily involved in the campaign itself.
Yeah.
We're very grateful to her for taking time out of her busy schedule to do it. Climate justice is a major issue internationally. Climate change is going to lead to a lot of circumstances where people already on the margins are pushed even further out. So it's certainly a very serious issue. But I think most of Mary Robinson's foundation's funding would come from international sources. But
yeah.
I'm sure she wouldn't object if somebody wanted to make a donation from Ireland either.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, of course. Seamus, I noticed too that it's been said that 80% of the philanthropic funds and activities will cease in this country over the next 3 years. Why is that?
Well, that's not quite true. What's going on is that the two largest foundations in Ireland are the One Foundation and Atlantic Philanthropies. Now, the One Foundation was set up to run for 10 years and has reached its 10th year, so it's winding down this year. Atlantic Philanthropies is also winding down. It was set up by Chuck Feeney as a limited life foundation, so he didn't intend it for it to go on forever. So both of those are leaving, and they will take roughly about 50 million out of philanthropic funding for the overall sector.
Right.
So that's a fair amount of funding. It will impact on about 70 organisations.
Yeah.
But the Forum on Philanthropy has come up with a strategy to deal with that, and it's setting up a social innovation fund where the government is going to provide an initial 5 million, and that has to be matched by philanthropic sources. So it's to set up a new fund, which it is hoped will grow in time to be able to take up the slack from these two organisations leaving.
Right. Well,
I must say, have done a tremendous amount of good in the time they've been here.
And the 1% Difference campaign will help in that regard too, will it?
It will help. The 1% Difference is really focused on a more general audience. It's focused on asking ordinary people to give time and money. And we're not telling people what to give to, and I think that's a very important point. We're asking people to pick out the organisations they care about. So it could be anything from a local community group to an overseas development organisation. We set up a website, 1%difference.ie, and you can go there and have a look at some of the organisations that are out there. 540 organisations signed up so far. And it's not confined to charities either. It's also open to people to sponsor or to work with their local sports club. All of the activity that people do when they organise themselves makes a huge difference to the kind of society we live in.
Yeah.
There are things that business can't do and things that government can't do. Civil society, which is all of us when we get together to try and do something, can do a lot more. And we're hoping to support those kind of organisations with this campaign.
Yeah, well, apart from people giving financially, Seamus, there's a huge amount of volunteering going on in this country anyway, isn't there really, you know?
There is a substantial amount of volunteering. As I said, about one in five Irish people volunteer on a regular basis. The largest cohort of volunteering goes to sports organisations. And quite frankly, sports organisations couldn't survive or exist in Ireland without that volunteering. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get everybody to get involved in a cause they care about. The, you know, volunteering, how would I express it? If you look, for example, just at the Dublin hurling team, I was talking to one of the one of the advisors there, and the amount of time those guys put in training, it's that kind of thing that gives a benefit to everybody in the city, because there's a great feeling when a team wins. So there are some things you can't quantify. The impact of volunteering is almost impossible to quantify because the good it does is so great.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just mentioned the Dublin hurling team. So the GAA itself must be the one organisation in the whole of the country that supplies the most amount of volunteers to that organisation. Isn't that right? Because every player is an amateur. They don't get any remuneration for it. They're out there training for the teams in the winter, summer, all through the year, and they basically are the biggest volunteer group in the country.
They are, and it's not just the players. I mean, the players, if you like, are what we see. But it's everybody from the people who work on the pitch, people who train under 10 teams. You know, there's a huge amount of voluntary effort, even down to the people who drive people to matches or drive kids to matches to get them started.
Yeah.
The GAA is now probably the most important generator of social capital, of community cohesiveness in the country. Particularly, by the way, if you go to the new commuter towns, where you've had a massive influx of population, the one organisation that has gelled those towns together and got people to work together and get to know each other and build a community has been the GAA. So it's making a tremendous contribution to this country.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact of keeping us all entertained during the summer.
Oh, of course. It was great. Great yesterday watching the matches that were played out across the country. Particularly, we have to say, the Dublin Hurlers.
I'm a Clare man myself, so I had fingers crossed that Anthony Daly would do it, and I'm delighted that he has. Obviously, he's done it because he's had fantastic players out there, but it's great to see. It's great for hurling.
Actually, look, we have to say, James, without him, it wouldn't have happened, basically. That's the truth of it all. You know, even though the young lads out there were brilliant, they gave their all. But we're not here to talk about the Dublin Horrors. We're talking about the campaign. I just wanted to ask you, have the GAA become itself, the GAA organisation, are they part of the 1% Difference campaign?
They are indeed. They're working with us, and we're hoping to run a kind of a spectacular event on the football final on the 26th, where we'll be able to take over some of the halftime celebrations to highlight the campaign. They're a very important partner for us because they enable us to reach communities right across the country. And I know we're not on to talk about hurling, but we did have Richie Hogan, who did a video piece for us about the importance of the GAA and volunteering. He's a Kilkenny player, and when he was beaten by Dublin, there was a lovely letter into the Irish Times. After the match, he'd been beaten, but he stayed around for 20 minutes or so, mm-hmm. signing autographs and taking pictures with young lads. And a Dublin supporter spotted that and wrote in. And I think that's kind of the spirit we want to get, which is the kind of people who, without asking for thanks or praise, make a contribution to their community, mm-hmm. And celebrate people who do. And if we can get that kind of spirit moving, I think we can do an awful lot with the campaign to make Ireland a better place to live.
Okay, Seamus, well said. We'll have to leave it there. But listen, all the best with the campaign, and we'll keep in touch with you and dip in from time to time and see how it's all going with you.
Be delighted to, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Seamus. Goodbye.